To paraphrase Daniel chapter 5 verse 26, Theresa May, God has numbered the days of your premiership and brought it to an end. You have been weighed on the scales and found wanting.
Hello and welcome to the show. Colourful conversations with Clergyman Pete and Businessman Mark. This week we ask the important question, who will be the next British Prime Minister? Well, Theresa May has finally quit as Conservative leader and on the 7th of June will leave office, and that paves the way for a contest to decide a new Prime Minister. In an emotional statement, she said that she had done her very best to deliver Brexit, and it was a matter of deep regret that she had been able to do so. Well, of course, as a result of her announcement, there are many people now jockeying for position to go to be the next Prime Minister. Yes, the race for number 10 is on. The runners and riders are now ready to go, all jockeying for position against each foe. So the race for number 10 is in full flow, some jumping to conclusions and stooping too low. Stragglers of the hoof appear politically slow, trotting out promises with nothing to show. Though the winner is saddled to keep the status quo, yet one thing is certain, their reign will end in woe.
Yes.
So, Clergyman Pete, which horse are you backing to be Prime Minister?
Well, there are quite a few possible candidates, of course. They may not have all have declared yet. But I'm not giving a direct answer because I'm practicing to be a politician. I'm building up to it. What I'm saying is that I'm just shortening the field. I mean, you might say, or I might say, Nigel Farage or Mark Peasey. But I obviously those would be joke candidates. But no, I wouldn't want to reduce it to this particular field. But I have to. It's got to be a Conservative Party member. And it's because, you know, we haven't had a general election yet. So who's going to take over? Well, it's going to be someone from within that party who, has proven themselves in some way. Otherwise, they're not going to get elected. So I think I've got what may seem a strange choice as my favourite. And that is Michael Gove.
Oh,
and the reason people may thinking to the show may if for example I know people like to listen to this show sipping coffee and they just spit it out at that point. Michael Gove. Yes, the reason is I know he's a bit of a swine and a backstabbing chap, but my consideration is that's what you need to negotiate with the EU. I think that he's got what it takes. I saw a headline in the Times this morning quoting Michael Gove saying that he said, I've got what it takes to deliver Brexit. And the implication being that our hero Bojo, Boris Johnson, doesn't have what it takes, because I say implication because, of course, he's the front runner at this stage. That's my view. That's not necessarily, I mean, we're the businessmen and the clergymen. That's not necessarily a clergyman's point of view. Although, you know, despite being a bit of a wheeler dealer, Michael Gove, you could argue that his biggest rival, Bojo, Boris Johnson, is in his private life, certainly living in a way that, you know, you would say was reprehensible. So that does in a way sway me more towards anyone except Boris Johnson. Even though, yeah, I like most people, I do find him likeable in a sort of bumbling, nice but dim sort of way. But the problem is, he's not dim. He's not at all. He's an intelligent guy. This is his persona. I'm not so sure he's the nice chap that we think. But I do think that Michael Gove has what it takes to be able to negotiate at that bureaucratic level and push something through. My only problem with him is I'm not absolutely convinced he wants to do it. That's the only slight hesitation I would have. I think of the ones that I've seen, I'd go with him.
Well,
what do you think?
I can understand why you've probably selected him as a candidate, but I have worries about Michael Gove, and I think there's a number of reasons. And actually, it does relate to Boris Johnson, as we saw not that long ago, a couple of years ago, when, of course, backstabbed Boris Johnson.
Yeah, sure.
At a point when I think even what you might say is the bumbling Boris Johnson really was taken, aback, really, a little bit by Mr. Gove's actions. I just feel that many Conservative members of Parliament will probably find him untrustworthy. I can understand about the point of negotiation, but I have a slightly different concern about him. It's not about just the negotiations with the EU. It's also about who can take the country beyond being out of the EU. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't necessarily feel that Michael Gove is the right candidate. Now, I have a particular choice, and I'm going to declare my hand here. Now, I'm going to explain why.
Yes, politically,
if you look through history, there are usually runners who are not always at the front. So if you look at the front runners right now, Boris Johnson would be out with his nose poking out in front.
Yes.
He's made it clear he wants the job. But I think that what will probably happen is you'll have somebody who's slightly a few steps behind, getting closer and closer towards the winning line, and it's Jeremy Hunt. And the reason I say
Hunt... Sorry, a bit of sick came up there. Sorry, carry on. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, can we just declare, listeners, that what we've got here is a bit of a...
Mark and Pete... are not an unbiased group. We're not great fans of the Tories, let's put it that way. So it's very difficult for us to consider this objectively. Yes, go on, Jeremy Hunt. Yes, go
can
on.
Can I just put another analogy? If this were truly a horse race,
yes,
I think we would have shot the horse out of sympathy, all of them by now, and they would be turned to glue.
Yes.
However, the reason I say Jeremy Hunt is if I think of him as a businessman, as a politician, somebody who has held important offices, including the Foreign Office, I think his powers of negotiation, not only just with the EU and other international countries, but critically within his own party. And ultimately, maybe that if you look at his credentials on the surface, he may not be the right candidate. But I think he's the only candidate that I can think of that can galvanize the Conservatives at the moment. And it's always about a moment in time. It's like a race, isn't it? There are some that are flagging, some that are doing well. And in the heat of the race, there's a moment when certain winners will come forward. Now, there are other ones, and I just want to sort of quickly call out the names of those who have put their hooves
around.
So the former Brexit Secretary, Dominic Raab,
he's already named.
I mean, do you have any comments about him?
Well, the fact that he's been in the cabinet that has significantly failed to deliver Brexit, I think really puts him out of the picture because, Boris Johnson was in, but he has disavowed his previous position because he left. And Gove, of course, famously was, just as Bojo was, leading the Leave campaign. So I think that they do have the background, but I just don't think he's credible because of that.
Yes. Well, of course, there is another one who potentially is sort of lurking in the shadows, maybe not necessarily be the first name that people, the general public, think about, but are starting to sort of think, well, maybe he could be the man, and that's Matt Hancock, who's the health secretary.
Yes. Now, the thing is, I think if you're talking about people who have been a ministerial role like he has, of course you haven't got a fresh start, but they're not really in any position. If you're coming right from being a backbencher, you're not really in any position, are you, to join?
No.
So, again, I don't think that he's got the negotiating skills, and also to actually win, I don't think he's got the name recognition.
Well, we have somebody here now I'm going to mention who potentially could have actually been the leader in 2016, but for various reasons had to back out. partly because of some bad commentary against Theresa May herself, and that's Andrea Leadsom.
Yes.
Now, her timing and resignation was quite interesting, wasn't it? Because if we remember, folks, she resigned not that long ago, and you could argue that was the nail in the coffin for Theresa May. Now, she, as the former leader of the House of Commons, has recognition, has standing, and many MPs actually have been thinking, well, actually, maybe we should have backed her in the original leadership election back in 2016. Now, what do you think about Andrea?
Well, here, my views have changed on her. I mean, you can give your view in a minute, but what my view is that her withdrawing from the leadership campaign because of really unfair pressure on her. She made a comment about Theresa May being childless, not intending to specifically denigrate the fact that she was childless. She was just talking about being a mother gave her particular insight. Well, of course it does. And yet she backed down because of that, the emotional pressure she couldn't take. This is why, just to reiterate what I think, this is why I say Gove. He won't give in to such pressure. They'll throw anything at you. I don't think she has the strength to do it.
Well, now I'm going to talk about a bank
strength of mind.
As she is today. It's another candidate, and that's Esther McVeigh. Now, she was, if everyone remembers, the Work and Pension Secretary. A lot of controversy over some of the decisions, or lack of decisions, you might argue. But she's declared that she would run. Now, do you think that she will get enough support? She's an outsider.
Yeah, she is an outsider. And it's interesting that, I have a bit of an interest in her for the obvious reason that she was... wasn't she from Wirral West?
Yes.
So she, which is my area, folks. If you didn't know, that's where I live. But I think that she, you see, I think she's a future possibility. She's younger than the rest, I believe. I don't know exact age, but
MP for Tatton in Cheshire, but it's close to you.
Yes. No. What I'm saying, yes. But I think she was in Wirral West, and then she. I think that's right. Anyway. It's in the back of my mind, folks. You can check it. I thought that that she was a Wirral West at Wirral West and left for some reason. But anyway, she resigned over the Brexit.
Yes,
deal, didn't she?
Yes.
So she has credibility.
The scandal over the whole work and pension policies really didn't go in her favour.
No. So I think. Esther McVeigh, I could see she's got these skeletons in the closet. She's got some sort of credibility because she at least has taken a stand on about Brexit, saying that, you know, she's even spoken out about leaving under WTO rules, you know, which is what Theresa May in the end wouldn't do, despite saying it lots of time. So I think that she's got that in her favour. I think that had it been a few years down the line in her career, I think she would have a better chance. I just think that she doesn't have quite the credibility because she doesn't have quite the sense of maturity.
I mean,
she seems capable, which is what, you know, it was a vote against Bojo, was to say he seems incapable. That was what Gove was saying about him, not me. So I think it's fair enough to say that she does seem capable. It's just that I think in terms of credibility going forward, I just don't think she has the maturity.
No.
But I hadn't considered her until you brought her up. So I think that, you know, that's a possibility, particularly as there's within society today, there's a strong pressure to try and have a woman leader. Because there haven't been so many in the past. So having a woman leader to replace a woman leader has something going for it.
Well, Theresa May has said, she was the second female Prime Minister of the United Kingdom and not necessarily the last. And she could be right.
Second female leader after David Cameron, right?
That's correct. Yes. Now, I'm going to mention one other candidate. Not many people may necessarily know this character. Yes. I do find him slightly amusing.
Right, who
and
we
his name is Rory Stewart.
Oh, right.
He's the International Development Secretary.
Yes.
Now, he was also the former prisons minister. And if anyone knows about what's been going on in the prison service, a lot of things have been going wrong. Riots, political issues, officers wanting to leave the service.
I just want to make a comment about Rory Stewart before anything else. And that is, I wouldn't normally say this, but it is rather extreme. He doesn't look well.
No, he doesn't. But the thing,
he looks like a zombie.
Well,
Rory. I mean, I don't want to be. I don't know whether it may be some sort of condition that I don't know about, and I'm being extremely rude. But it just seems to me that he's been smoking too much and staying up too late.
His comment, in his own words, and there's a quote here, based upon your description of him, this is his words: "I'm not about talk. I'm about action."
Okay, yeah. So, I take it back. No, Rory, the fact that you look like a corpse doesn't matter. You're right. Yes, carry on.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. He just looks like some strange.
But to be serious,
Georgian
about it,
comical character.
Yes,
there's something not right about it.
Exactly right. I mean, I think that it's not just a personal comment. Oh, he doesn't look very very good, and therefore I'm not interested. I mean, I'm associate with you, Mark, and you look terrible. So I mean,
well, that's
reasonable,
but that's only at best.
But so you know, it's not a personal comment in that sense. It's personal about him. The point is that if you don't look credible because you look as though there's something wrong with you, you know, which puts people off voting. You know, it's difficult for you to be a leader. It's unfortunate, but that's true. I'm just trying to, state the case as it is.
About his look, the thing that worries me more than anything is that he can often play a very good political argument. I've seen him in debate. He argues very, very well. However, the thing that worries me is I don't think that some of his arguments, the basis of his arguments, are right. I think politically he's slightly out of touch. I think we saw that with the prison service. The prison service in the United Kingdom has been neglected in terms of resource, policies, and so on. And I think he had a golden opportunity to get it right. He didn't. And I think that we still have an issue with that area. And so for me, irrespective of looks, etc., because Theresa May, shall we say?
Well, you see, Theresa May looked terrible.
I think that there were some things that she had done in previous governments where she had got things right. But really, my worry for him is he's probably not got enough political experience to be able to negotiate on an international level as well as domestic level.
But I think I'm right in saying, now I don't have the information in front of me, but didn't he vote Remain?
It's quite possible.
You know, I think that he did. I'm pretty confident about that. So I think that in that case, that rules him out in my view.
Just so we can just to point that out. Although once a Remain supporter, he said he accepted Brexit but wanted to reach out to Remain voters as well as to bring this country together again.
That would be a disaster. So that's not the way to do it.
Eliminating him. Yes.
Because what needs to be done is the view of the people that we should leave Europe needs to be enacted. Then once that's over, we can bring people together again. You can't, you end up relitigating the whole referendum debate, which has been the issue going on. Haven't you missed out that guy, have you not finished yet? Oh, right. Sorry.
By no means.
I thought you'd missed someone out there.
Do carry on. So I'm going to run through some of them that have also been tipped to run.
Okay. There is someone I was thinking of, but I'll see who you say first.
To be able to hopefully get their foot or hoof in the door at some point. So there's Sir Graham Brady is the backbencher, but of course, as we all know, is the long-standing chairman of
That's who I was thinking of.
1922 committee. Now, he is a strange chap. I mean, he has a certain Machiavellian look about him.
Yes.
Now, I know that the 1922 committee is quite powerful. We all realize that. I really do worry if he became prime minister, where on earth we would be heading.
Now, my understanding was that he had resigned or was about to resign in order to run for it.
Correct.
So I think but I understand that he is doing it or has done it.
Yes.
That's my impression. So I think that the name recognition is a problem.
Yes.
Running a powerful committee is good, but that doesn't mean you've been in frontline politics. So again, I'd rule him out through through lack of the right sort of experience. You want someone to be able to get in there running, already ready to perform.
Well, now, here's one that could actually come up and could get to the final too. It is, some people think that he could do it, and that is Sajid Javid, the Home Secretary. This is an important role. I mean, there's a lot going on in the domestic front, and many people are looking to politicians to get our own act together in this country, let alone, obviously, with Europe and anywhere else. Now, he obviously has had quite some time in the role, but he's had lots of criticism from various quarters, and including his own party. But some people do believe that, actually, he could be well-placed. Now, I don't know what your thoughts about Sajid.
Well, I have to say, I found him very unconvincing. I have to say, you were talking about other candidates, possible candidates being able to hold their own. You know, we were talking about their negotiating ability. Well, of course, I don't know what he's like behind closed doors, but just in interviews, he doesn't sound very convincing to me.
No.
I think just from the impression he gives, he'd be a bit of a walkover.
Yes. Well, I'm just going to run through a couple of other names, not necessarily dwell on them, because I've got some thoughts about what the next leader needs to do. But Penny Mordaunt, the defence secretary, she's put a name in. Priti Patel, the backbencher, lots of controversy during Theresa May's reign. Liz Truss, the chief secretary to the Treasury. Yes, even Steve Baker, who's a backbencher, has put his hat in. And many, 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 many others. I think Clergyman Pete, I think you were even trying to get in there. I think I saw your name.
Obviously.
There.
Yes.
Yes. Now, the thing here is, whoever actually wins to the point of the start of the show, which is actually, it's a bit of a poison chalice, isn't it? I mean, whoever really takes over, is it really going to make any difference? Whoever wins, whichever candidate is chosen at the end of the day, can they really make a difference? Are we really heading out now with a no deal?
Well, I was going to say, let's hope so. Of course, I would have preferred there to be a good deal, but I think the only way to get a good deal now, and you know, this is backed up by other commentators, not just me saying it, is to go for the no deal, which is, of course, actually leaving under WTO rules, and then negotiate. There's no saying that you can't negotiate after you leave. You can do whatever you like after you leave. You're once again a sovereign nation. So
yeah.
I would say that leaving under no deal is a good thing. I don't think what they need to do is try and renegotiate. What they need to do is stay strong and make sure some rubbishy deal doesn't get the deal that Theresa May had in place doesn't get passed. But rather, we leave under no deal and start really overtly. I know behind the scenes we'd be getting ready for it, but really get preparations in place for leaving the EU under no deal. And I think someone, as I was saying, I was favouring Gove to do this because I just think he would have the strength of mind to push that through, to stand against, you know, people trying to push him to one side from something he decided to do, and then to negotiate after we've left, which that's where I think we have the strongest hand. So that's why I favour him. But there were a couple of other people there, you know, so that I thought would be okay. And actually, even Bojo, if he had the right team around him, I think Boris Johnson would be able to leave. But it's a question of who will serve under him. I think if he had some good, strong negotiators to work with, he could be effective as well. So I'm not as negative as I think I've heard you sound. I think there's a possibility I mean, we're going to go through a terrible time. There's going to be uncertainty. That's what I mean.
Well,
but I think we'll get through that.
Yeah.
The negotiation will have to be afterwards. I can't see another way of getting a good deal.
Well, to that very point, and we're talking about who will be the next British Prime Minister, and I'm going to throw a slightly curveball at you, as they would say in America, which is, could that possibly be Jeremy Corbyn? And the reason I say that is, if the Conservative Party implodes and there is the possibility that a general election might be called, and that could in itself mean that whoever we decide to have as a British Prime Minister after Theresa May, should it now be that we actually need a new government and that is the way that we go forward? Maybe there's not enough time.
Maybe,
who knows?
Maybe, just let me interject here, maybe it should be a new government formed by the Brexit Party.
Well, possibly. Nigel Farage, where are you? Well, listeners, look, the deadline for nomination is the week starting the 10th of June. Now, candidates will need at least two proposers. Yes, that's what they need, folks. And then there's a whole range of hustings around the world. This is effectively the world of the United Kingdom, which is like a postal ballot that the Conservative Party members will conduct. And this will result in an announcement before Parliament, before the rise of summer. Yes. So, folks, what do you think? Do you have a particular candidate in mind? Who do you favour to be the next Conservative leader? And, of course, the British Prime Minister. Why not log on to markandpete.com? Let us know your thoughts. Well, the race is on. Which horse is going to win? Or will it be yet another nag?
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.